We are Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM.
Yes, Sunday the 29th of August, you're very welcome to TalkSport here on Community Radio Kilkenny City, and a very busy weekend we had. Well, Camogie takes centre stage tonight on the programme, and sadly our All-Ireland champions, our crown is gone. Cork nabbed it there in the last half an hour or more, winning by 15 points to 111. We'll be joined by Liam Kelly O'Rourke, who was covering that game today with our own Barry Henriquez. We'll join him in a moment. Better news for the intermediate, Kilkenny intermediate side. They had a win over Meath. We'll talk to Liam about that. He was covering that yesterday. But I picked the gem of the weekend, the All-Ireland Minor Camogie semi-final between Kilkenny and Galway, which Kilkenny won after extra time. We'll have more from, we'll have that game also. Lots of action here in Junior A, B, C, the E and F county finals. We'll touch on those as well. The Kilkenny Junior Hurling League was in full action. We'll have reports on some of those games also. And we will be doing soccer, and of course we might even get a chance to talk about the fact that it's Tyrone and Mayo in the All-Ireland football final, not Dublin and Kerry after all. So we will be heading down to an UPMC Nolan Park to talk to Tom O'Hanlon. That game between Dunamagan and Munkine is currently taking place down at local GA headquarters here, and we'll get an update from him. The latest we have on that particular game is that it is Munkine who are leading 18 points to 111, but we'll get more on that in a short while. Look, we'll kill that team tune now, because we need to go to the men that were in Croke Park today. Liam Kelly O'Rourke, disappointment, Liam. I saw most of the game, and an injury time point from Linda Collins caught Kilkenny, but I never felt we were going great through the whole game, and it may be the way we were going throughout the year. We played it that way in today's game as well.
Yeah, no, and unfortunately it feels like that kind of sums up our season, going down 15 points to 111 today in Croke Park. Very disappointing, but I'm afraid our performance didn't merit any better. It was a poor enough game. It won't go down as one of the all-time great Camogie matches, but Cork just about edged it. And you know, Cork had a difficult for Kilkenny right throughout the match, Nicky. For every Kilkenny woman, there seems to be two Cork players surrounding them. So their job to harass them, to block out any sort of Kilkenny attack, was very effective throughout the match. But no, it was a very stale performance. Our delivery into our forwards was non-existent. There was never really feeling of a goal opportunity going to be created, and that was really, really disappointing from a Kilkenny perspective. As for Cork, I think, you know, I don't think they went into that match looking to put in the most glamorous of performances. They went in there hurting after last year's defeat in Paisley, wanting to get the result, and that's what they did. They grinded it out. They got over the line. I thought when they went down to 14 players, that might have given Kilkenny the needed oomph to get over the line. It had quite the opposite effect. Cork responded well to that setback, and you know, they got over the line in the end. There was a couple of key players for Cork. You had the likes of Steffi Fitzgerald and Orla Cronin as well. They put in really good performances for the Rebels. As for Kilkenny, Barry touched on in his updates right throughout the afternoon that Denise Gall, she didn't hit her usual heights. She's been a stalwart for Kilkenny Camogie over the past number of years. Not quite at it this afternoon, and you know, that just summed up Kilkenny's day. Really disappointing stuff, but we can have no complaints. And going down by 15 points to 111, I think it does Cork justice. And they'll be fancying their chances against Galway in that All-Ireland final. Galway were fast and convincing against Tipperary. Your heart would have to go out to the Tip goalkeeper. It looked from our vantage point that it was simply sun in the eyes that cost her in the end. Very, very hard. You know, I really felt sorry for her. Very, very disappointing for her. But Galway dug it out when they needed to be, far from a vintage performance, but they got over the line as well. So disappointment for Brian Dowling. Cork march on, but of course we do have those intermediate and minor finals to look forward to.
Yeah, and you we'll just maybe touch on the intermediate. Won't hold you too long, because I know you're in the car there with Barry. In terms of that intermediate match yesterday, listening to you on the radio, it was a dour enough game which Kilkenny dug out with kind of a fine performance in point taking from Sophie O'Dwyer.
Yeah, it's not one that will live long in memory, Nicky. I'm afraid it was a hard game to sell being in UPMC in Ola Park yesterday. It was just a case, like very much like today, far from vintage, a lot of grinding being done, a case of getting over the line, and Kilkenny did that. Kilkenny built up a bit of a lead in the first half, and they always held that 4 or 5 point advantage the whole time. Meade went with a sweeper system. That basically ruled out any opportunity Kilkenny had of creating any goal opportunities. But you know, Sophie O'Dwyer played in the forward yesterday. She was immense, both from free taking and from general play as well. And, you know, we're talking about backs and how imperative they were in today's senior final. The Kilkenny backs yesterday were very, very important to getting that result over. They were very impressive. If we're to be optimistic and confident going into an All-Ireland final, we need to be creating more. I can't remember one in the entire 60 minutes yesterday, but it's a case of All-Ireland semi-finals after winning, and we did that in the end. So John Scott will be delighted with the win. Much to improve on going into the final, but a win's a win.
Absolutely. Look, Liam, that's fine. We'll talk to you. Take care and safe journey home. Okay. Okay, that's Liam Kelly O'Rourke and Barry Henriquez, who were in Croke Park today, and we'll touch on that intermediate with Pat in a moment. But Pat, that senior game today, your own observations. I mean, you have been pointing out all along that the loss of Van Dalton and Anna Farrell was going to be always difficult for Kenny to overcome, and that, you know, when you, I'm not going to simplify it and say that was the reason they lost today, but it was a factor.
Yeah, it is a factor, but and you see, part of the reason for being a factor is that you have Denise Gall out in the middle of the field along with Grace Walsh, whereas, you know, when Denise was pushed up near the goal, and when Miriam Walsh was in near the goal, we had more of a focus, and we were looked a lot more threatening, and you were trying to counteract that loss in that middle third the whole year, and probably was one of the reasons that we never got the real balance going right in the team throughout the season. But look, I thought they battled their hearts out today. Cork got the bit of cleaner possession, but Kilkenny, when Kilkenny got the goal and they got the point and they led for the first time, I thought maybe they could get to kick on.
I agree, I'd looked as if that, but you'd have to say in the first half, particularly Chloe Sigerson, she got on the ball a lot and really, she really popped over some very good points, and she was probably the real turn in Kilkenny's side from a scoring perspective.
She was, yeah, and the Cork, when Cork got possession, she was able to work loose and her striking was wonderful. She was able to pick off those points from distance, and when you can pick off those points from distance, it makes all the difference. And coming up towards half time, I said Kilkenny are doing fierce well to be only 2 or 3 points down at the stage, and then I think Cork got the next 2 or 3 points, and 5 points didn't really flatter Cork at half time.
Yeah, but it's fair to say, having seen a fair few of their matches this year, they just were never quite clicking the same as they were another year.
Yeah,
they were coming through some of their games, winning them, but not overly impressing.
Yeah, the cohesion over the hour, yeah. I think that was the thing. And, even against Wexford, they had a bad third quarter in that one, even, you know. So, look, but when you look at it, I think, you know, Kilkenny did fierce well this year. They won the league. They were very close to getting to the All-Ireland final again. And, I give them great credit for the year they put in.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Okay. Well, on the intermediate game yesterday, after the game, Liam Kelly O'Rourke met up with John Scott, and he also spoke to Sophie O'Dwyer.
I'm joined by John Scott. John, congratulations, a great win.
Oh, absolutely brilliant, Noah. It was a tough game, I have to say. All credit to Meath as well, they gave it everything. But it was a hard fought game, but as I said, the team, they worked their backsides off, the whole lot of them, and it was a great team effort, like, you know. Mm.
And not the most glamorous at times, but sometimes these type of games can be the most satisfying.
Oh, definitely, like, yeah. It's the work rate that actually won us today, when we didn't have the ball, which was excellent to see. So the next time, look, things will be going well. Hopefully, you know, the girls will be buzzing when they get to Croke Park.
Yeah. And Meath were always going to pose a tough challenge.
Oh, they were, yeah. And look, they nipped us in the bud up in Burr in the quarter final of the league, and I think the girls really felt that as well. So they're really, really looking forward to this one. Like,
I'm sure one aspect you'd want to improve is creating more goal opportunities.
I did, yeah, but I think the way that Meath set up today, there wasn't going to be a whole lot of goals going in. But look, that's the way they play, and we just work away. We keep on the scoreboard ticking away, and we'll see where we go from the end.
Yeah, and a great day for Kilkenny Camogie. We're just getting news in there that the minors are into the All Ireland as well, so it's great to see development at all the different grades.
Oh, it is, yeah. No, I just talked to Martin there as well. It's great to see the minors getting through to the All-Ireland. Hopefully the seniors can do it now tomorrow. We'll have a full house.
John, best of luck. Thanks
all
very
right.
much.
Thank you.
by Sophie Dwyer. Sophie, great win.
Yeah, great to get over the line today. Very tough match. It was more of a battle now, but we're absolutely delighted to get over the line and get to Croker.
Yeah, and a real grind. And sometimes those type of games are the most satisfying when you have to really work hard.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like even before that whistle blew, I thought to come in 5 or 10 minutes left. I was just so involved in the game. Mm. It was like when the final whistle blew, it was such a relief. Like yeah, absolutely delighted now.
And did Meade bring the challenge you expected them to bring?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, they're big, they're physical girls, and we knew it would be a battle today, and that's exactly what it was, like, you know.
Mm. And gearing up now for an All-Ireland final, no doubt enjoy tonight, and then straight eyes on the prize.
Yeah, absolutely, looking forward to it. Now, a few of us are on the senior panel tomorrow, yeah. So we'll be heading up to Croke Park. So yeah, delighted to get it, to go up to Croke Park. Dream come true, really, like, you know.
Yeah, and sure, how are you feeling about tomorrow? Confident?
Yeah, I think it'll be a battle. I think it'll be a good match, but, you know, if the girls, if we play to our potential, no doubt we'll come out on top, like, you know.
Sophie, thanks very much. Congratulations.
Very much.
Yeah, that was Sophie Dwyer, star performer for Kilkenny yesterday against Meath there in the All-Ireland final, and they will play Antrim. Now, when those teams met up in the Glens of Antrim not too long ago, Antrim had a good win, so clearly it's going to be much stiffer this time. Paul McKillen, the former Antrim hurler, and Jim McKiernan, they are looking after the Antrim team this year, and they'll certainly be up for that. They beat Galway yesterday 2-13 to 1-13 in St. Tiernach's Park in Clona. So a big game for Kilkenny in 2 weeks' time. But yesterday I travelled to Abbottstown, where Kilkenny took on Galway in the All-Ireland Minor semi-final, and what a game it was.
Tesco All-Ireland Minor Camogie semi-final, Kilkenny 3-21, Galway 1-25. It took 20 minutes of extra time to separate Kilkenny and Galway in the Tesco All-Ireland Minor Camogie semi-final on Saturday afternoon in Abbottstown. The sides delivered a classic contest at the Blanchardstown venue with the effort and commitment from the players on both sides of the highest order. When these sides met at under-16 level 2 years ago, the Westerners enjoyed a healthy double-digit success over the Northsiders. While both teams showed changes from their 2019 encounter, during the opening quarter it did look as if Galway were shaping up for a repeat of the under-16 game results, such was their dominance. After 9 minutes, Galway led 1-3 to no score, a fair indication of the control that the Westerners had on the game, even if they enjoyed wind advantage. The superb Katie Gilchrist at full forward had the ball in the Kilkenny net after a minute, and with Sabina Rabbit dominant at centre half forward, the task facing the young Kilkenny kittens looked daunting. Galway were quicker to the ball, and their combination play had Kilkenny in all sorts of bother. Emma Minogue got Kilkenny off the mark with a point on 9 minutes with an excellent individual effort. Galway continued to press forward, and flying wing forward Niamh McInerney got the first of her 6 points after a fine run. From an early stage, the scoring threat of Clara's Sarah Barco appeared to be Kilkenny's best chance of scores, and she brought the margin back to 4 points with a brace of white flags. Another Galway point from Laura Kelly saw Galway lead 1-5 to 0-3 at the first water break. Stirring words were clearly spoken at that short water break, because Kilkenny were far more competitive during the second quarter, even if Galway still enjoyed the bulk of the possession. Kilkenny scored 3 points to Amy Clifford and another from Asha McCarty, but Galway, through the mercurial Katie Gilchrist and Eve McInerney, led at the interval 1-9 to 0-7. The excitement and tempo grew in the second half as Kilkenny upped their work rate considerably. A Kilkenny goal from sub Claire Dahoney after 4 minutes left 3 points between the teams, but more importantly, the winners started to play with greater confidence. Galway were heavily dependent on Katie Gilchrist and Eve McInerney for their scores. As the game ebbed to a third quarter conclusion, they still held a healthy 6 point lead. Right on the whistle for that water break, Sarah Barco came to Kilkenny's rescue with a superb goal. Now the margin was back to 3 points and the momentum was with Kilkenny. A brace of points from Amy Clifford left the minimum between the sides 2 minutes into the fourth quarter. Kilkenny's work rate was terrific, but too often the ball was played in the direction of Galway's spare defender Ciara Hickey, who dominated the central defensive position. A brace of points from the superb Asha McCarty, who was now playing at midfield, left a point between the sides. But when Katie Gilchrist and Sabina Rabbit pointed for Galway, their place in the All-Ireland final seemed assured. But the battling Kilkenny players refused to yield. When the lively Sarah Barco gained possession and rounded her marker, there was no stopping her blistering shot. The game was now level, and extra time would be needed to separate two great teams. An Amy Clifford pointed free 2 minutes into extra time saw Kilkenny lead for the first time in the game. But Kilkenny did not hold that lead for long, as Katie Gilchrist and Niamh McInerney continued to tap over the points for Galway. The Westerners led 1-23 to 3-16 at half-time in extra time, but Kilkenny were the dominant side in the second period, scoring 5 points to Galway's 2. Penalties loomed until the outstanding Sarah Barco slotted over 2 late points for Kilkenny, and nothing epitomised the Kilkenny effort better than the last score when sub Ellen Gunner and Sarah Barco dispossessed 2 Galway defenders, with the young Clara player pointing to send Kilkenny into the All-Ireland final next weekend against Cork in Limerick. Final score from Abbottstown: Kilkenny 3 goals and 21 points, Galway 1 goal and 25 points.
Well, after the game I met up with a delighted Kilkenny manager, Mick Wall. Well, Mike, well, how are you after that? Because the old heart must be somewhere except where it normally is.
I suppose you could say that, Nicky. Look, it was look, you were here. Oh, geez, they're a credit to the county. They're an absolute, they're a credit to themselves, their families, their club, Kilkenny. It's hard not to be emotional, like, when you win a game and they fought and fought and fought, and you saw the 20-yard free that we scored that wasn't given. And to turn, and for Sarah Barco and Ellen Gunner to turn that over straight away and put it over the bar, I just thought, like, it's nothing less than they deserve.
In the early stages, Galway certainly looked a better team. Their running was good. They were forcing the ball. They were anticipating the ball. We looked to be in bother. What did you say to them during the first water break?
Look, the first one, look, yeah, to be fair, look, first water break is hard. We just, like, they were panicking. Anyone to hear, they were so nervous. And we said that again, the same thing. It was nearly a picture image of the Waterford game. We didn't say a huge amount to them. And at half time, we actually broke it down to them. So it was 1-9 to 7 points. They got a goal after 30 seconds, which completely rocked our confidence. It took the wind out of us. But after that, they were only ahead by two points with that wind. And yeah, they settled a lot quicker than we did. But like we knew that the goals come in. And look, we did. We said we wouldn't force them. We just keep taking our points. And she probably won't hear this, but a very special lady spoke to the girls on Thursday night. Sinead Kane, she's the blind ultra runner for anyone who knows. And we referenced her here today a few times, and that's literally, look, it's nothing. We can make changes all we want. We brought in a few subs, everyone that came in, but it's those girls outside in black and amber that deserves all the plaudits.
I know it's probably unfair to pick out individual players, but you'd have to say Sarah Barco was absolutely the class player on the field today.
Look, Sarah Barco, yes, she was, and even that, to score that last point, she got the goal, she got one of the goals, or maybe she got two of the goals, I can't remember. She got one of the goals anyway, and the last goal to draw. But her showing for the ball, her physicality, her tackling, her willing to make the runs just to put pressure on someone, she was phenomenal. Look, Sarah, we knew she'd been playing well all the time and she'd been getting scores every game. We knew that there was one game that she was going to take off in, and that was today.
The work rate, though, Mick, improved tremendously in the second half, and particularly in extra time, because you had to, because Galway were walking through you far too easily for a long stage.
They were, yeah. And look, that's a really good Galway team. 2 years ago, when this, like, they destroyed Kilkenny in the under-16 semi-final with this group. Now, I know it's a different group and different management and probably new players come in. We have to remember, we're a very young team. We're a very young panel. Galway are an extremely well-drilled team, and it took us a long time to actually get to grips with their puckouts. They were willing to work the ball. We probably learned a lot from playing the Waterford team. But we knew if we just tried to hold our shape as best we could at the backs and hit them with good quality ball, we knew we had the players up front causing damage.
Yeah, but I think the main thing today was the character shown, because they could have easily, yes, dropped the heads there when Galway were getting on top, winning a lot of the 50-50 balls. But they learned a lot from that in the final now next weekend, where we know you're playing Cork.
Yeah, we knew, and we have, and like we're just after hearing now the Cork beat Dublin. Look, it's the character. It's and that's the one thing. We brought every one of the subs down with for the last water break there, and we got in as a huddle. We've said this, though, you know, the girls do believe it. If Nicky, you should come to it. You should have an hour training session last week. I can't say enough. It's a much about the girls standing in the stand for the pressure they're putting on the starting 15 all the time. We got in as a huddle, not just the 15, the whole group, and we asked them just to give 10 minutes as much as you want. And anyone here that wants to see character, that's what Mr. Cody has been instilling in the lads for the last 22 years. And I think that's after, it's just unbelievable now, absolutely unbelievable.
And all roads now lead to Limerick next weekend.
All roads lead to Limerick now next weekend, yeah. Look, sure, we're going to have to digest that. Yeah, like a week's turnaround is asking a lot, probably for both teams. We had to play extra time there. Thank God we've a girl, she mightn't hear it, our Limerick. We've two girls from Limerick there. Elaine is there working again on girls. They come up on their own back every week. Leisha's heading over to England next week on Wednesday to start a new job. We're just hoping that she'll be able to come back, because she has the girls in physical tip-top condition. You saw Ashley McCarty, who led from the middle there when she came out, and she was asked to do the unselfish work. I thought she was outstanding. But Ellen Gunner, who came in, that was the first time she had played for us this year, and came in and the turnover. She's from your own club, Connie, so I don't know what you're breeding them down. down there. But no, look, from one to five, I think we used four or five subs. They were absolutely outstanding, every single one of them.
Well, we look forward to being in Limerick with you next Sunday. Well done, Mike.
And thanks very much for your coverage, and thanks very much, Nicky. Take care.
Yeah, that was Mike Wall, yes. And that match has now been confirmed for 5 o'clock in the LIT Gaelic Grounds in Limerick on next Sunday evening. And you can take it, Community Radio Kilkenny City. We'll be there to commentate on the game as we did yesterday. And thanks to all the people who sent us good messages about covering that game yesterday. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more sport shortly.
We are Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM.
Yes, you're very welcome back to Community Radio Kilkenny City's City Sport here on Sunday evening. I'm just noticing that a Camogie match that was played today actually saw Mayo defeat Tyrone 3-8 to 1-12 in the Nancy Murray Cup final. Now, I wonder, is that going to be a pointer or anything to what might be happening in a couple of weeks? Myself and Pat will chat about that later on. But down in, just after finishing in Nolan Park in the last couple of minutes, the Junior A County Champions are Dunamagan, says I, the man on the line will kill me. Of course, they're Moonkine and Tom O'Hanlon. Congratulations. I was watching it on Twitter there, Tom. It was nip and tuck, and certainly it got it. You pulled away a little bit and then it got tighter at the finish.
That's right, yeah. We were lucky enough, I think, to be 1-10, or just 3 points behind at half-time. It was 1-10 to 10 points. And the third quarter was really a deciding quarter in that we scored 7 points without reply before the water break, and to go 17 points to 1-10 ahead. However, in fairness to Dunamagan, as Dunamagan do, they came back hard at us in the second half and brought it to within a point there near the end. But I think it was, what was it? One of the, Ryan Croke, I think, got the final score, actually. Yeah, 21 points to 116.
Yeah, great. And now you have the unusual situation that officially you now have two teams in junior, but your junior A's won't actually go up. They'll stay playing in junior A.
Well,
that's what I'm hearing anyway. But
that's not the first time that has happened to us. But Nicky, in fairness, like, you know, we're really intermediate team in waiting now this year, I think, you know, so our known form. The other junior teams better watch out, you know.
Well, there you go, Tom. In fairness, we would, well, given your vast history of Moonkine, a great club, I know that's what the ambition. Well, maybe that should be the sport the junior team want now to push on, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I was instrumental there at the start of the year putting a register together. We've 87 players has played adult hurling in the club this year through the four teams, and you know, it strikes me every time to admit that, you know, with four junior teams as such, so it's about time that we'd move up a gear. Hopefully this would be the year, and this victory today could spur us on, hopefully, you know.
It could very well. Look, it was at least Dunamagan had the, they did win the Junior F final. I'll be talking about that in a moment. So at least they had some silverware this weekend. Look, Tom, go off and celebrate with your players. Well, thanks for taking time to give us the update.
One thing I should finish off on, we suffered for a long number of years with Dunamagan being beaten by a pint, so it's nice to win by a pint.
There you go, of course it is, yeah. Well done, Tom, and thanks for your time today.
Thanks
very much. That's Tom O'Hanlon, and we'll move on to maybe the Junior B in a moment. We'll try and see, can we get Kieran Neary on the phone? Pat will try that while I go through and talk about some of the other matches. Well, on Friday night we had the Junior C County Final, and that paired Fenians and Piltown together. Well, the Fenians obviously won their first time in Junior about 50 years ago, and it was the start of an amazing run by the Johnstown Club. They became the standout senior team for a while, but it does look as if Piltown would be putting the pressure on by the 15th minute. They led by, or the Fenians, I said, Shay, led by 6 points to three, and that had been clawed back to a single point by the interval. And it was Piltown who led by 8 points to seven, and they were getting scores from Davy Rhymes, the Fenians, Sean O'Neill and Seamus Norris, they were the key scorers for them. But for the Johnstown lads, Kevin Power, now he didn't start hurling today or yesterday, Sean Tobin and Davy Ryan were popping over points for them. But it was 8-7 at half time, and Johnstown levelled that up with a point from Adam Duggan in the second minute of the second half. But it was really nip and tuck along the way until a goal towards the end for Piltown looked as if it had put them ahead when Conor Hogan scored a goal in the 33rd minute to put them 1-12 to 14 points ahead. It did look as if it would be disappointing for Johnstown. In the second half, certainly Kieran Graham was popping over points, and Kevin Power. Daryl McGee was doing well for Daryl May, I should say, doing well for Piltown from place balls. But that Conor Hogan goal looked to have sealed it for the Piltown lads, but up popped Kevin Power from a penalty. I think JJ Delaney might have been close enough where he grabbed the ball out of the air as well, and Johnstone won a dramatic game, 114 at 2-1-12. That was the Ryan C County final, so well done to them. The Ryan D County final, well, that saw Sleeve Rue and Blacks and Whites do battle, and Blacks and Whites were in a strong position in the early stages. They scored goals in the 9th and 14th minute to lead after 14 minutes by 2-4 to Sleeve Rue's 5 points. And by the 20th minute, that had been levelled up, where Sleeve Rue really found their mojo, and it was 2-4 to 10 points. And then a Sleeve Rue goal in the 22nd minute made it 1-12 to 2-4, and by half time that was 1-13 to 2-6. A 4-point lead for Sleeve Rue. But Sleeve Rue were very much the dominant side in the second half. They got 2 goals in the 3rd minute and in the 5th minute to put them 3-13 to 2-8 ahead, and by the 20th minute that had moved ahead to 3-17 to 2-13, but in the end they won out 3-20 to Blacks and Whites 2-16. So despite the good start for Blacks and Whites, it was Sleeve Rue who came good in the end with their 3 goals. I did say there on the when we were talking to Tom O'Hanlon that Dunamagan, they won the Junior F championship there. They defeated Piltown, and they got early on got a point from Dylan Carroll to get them going. Pyle Kirby levelled it up for the Piltown boys, but they, of course, a goal for Jason Doherty after 5 minutes was a big score for them, and they got another goal from Jason Doherty in the 15th minute to put them 2-7 to 3 points up. And Piltown were struggling at this stage, but did get a goal from Philly Kenny just around the first water break to make it 2-7 2-1-3. But Dunamagan led at half time in the game 2-7 to 1-8, with got a rush of points there in the second quarter through Andrew Norris, Paul Kirby, Philly Kenny and Jamie Norris. Well, it was a much closer affair in the second half. By the 12th minute it was a 2-14 to 1-13 game, and then Piltown tightened it up again to 15 to 1-16, a couple of Jamie Norris's points. But Dunamagan had that very good start, and they finished in the end 2-17 to Piltown's 1-17, with Jason Doherty for Dunamagan and Pat Connolly for Piltown finishing up the scoring in those particular games. So well done to everyone. We'll be touching base with Carmel Kenny out in Clara in a short while, just to see how that Liz Downey and Rory Nasteeg Junior E County final is going. But we did get Pat Tracy to do a little bit of work today. He headed out towards Clara direction today, and I think he was watching Greg Namana and was at Barra Rangers. Pat, you were watching today, and I think you enjoyed the game very much.
Yeah, great game, and I must say both teams giving it everything from the word go. And Greg Namana, they set the tone of the game, and they led 4 points to 3 at the first water break, but they had hit a share of wides as well. And with Terry Dreelin, the main man, he got 3 of the 4 points in that opening quarter. And then, you know, Bar Rangers found their feet a bit. Jack Kelly pointed a couple in that second quarter, and by half time, it was 8 points to 7 in favour of the Greg Namana men, and it was nip and tuck right through. And Greg Namana had 10 wides in that first half, while the Bar Rangers only had 3. So, you know, they had 18 shots at the goal to Bar Rangers 10. And third quarter then very even, but Bar Rangers edged it. Billy Hanlon coming on as a sub, and he got the last score of that quarter, his very first puck of the game, 11 points to 10. But if there was a kick for home, well, it happened after the beginning of the last quarter. Pierce Blanchfield, Terry Dreelin had 2 points, and Pierce Blanchfield again to make it 14 points to 11. And in fairness, Bar Rangers, they came back, and Ed Prendergast and Billy Hanlon pointed to make it 14-13. Terry Dreelin, point from play. Jack Kelly replied, 15-14. And then a point by Dylan Cal made it 16-14. And a great save by Jason Holland from I think it was Dylan Cal, that kept the Greg Namana goal line, or the Bar Rangers goal intact. And then Terry Dreelin pointed again to make it 17 points to 15 after Pierce Blanchfield pointed a 65. A deserved win for Greg Namana. They set the tone of the game. Their shooting was poor in the first half, but they just about deserved the 2-point victory. But for effort, both teams have to be commended, and they really went at it, and it ended up with the last puck of the game, 21-yard free, was saved and by Greg Namana, and they held on for that 2-point win.
Okay, thanks for that, Pat. Well, earlier today we got a report from Gerry Drennan on the game between Galway and Piltown. He was speaking to Seamus Brophy earlier, so here's how everything went.
Very good afternoon, and hopefully on the end of the line we have Gerry Drennan from Galmoy. Gerry, you had a run out against Piltown today at 1 o'clock in the Junior Championship. How fared it?
Yes, that's right, Seamus. You could call it a run out because Piltown ended up 10-point winners, 25 points to 15. Granted, Galmoy were short a few players due to injuries, but Piltown were the better team from the off. By the first water break, they led 8 points to 3 with Billy O'Callaghan in great form up front, 3 points in play, and Ronan Ryan hitting over the freeze. Galmoy had 3 points there, 2 from Billy Drennan freeze and 1 from Oisín Phelan, the team captain. The second quarter was a bit better for Galmoy, with Tom Cork and Oisín Phelan and Conor Grace popping over points to bring it back to 8 points to 6. But Ronan Ryan at centre forward, he hit 12 points from placed balls over the hour. He was unerringly accurate and did very well from any chance he got. By half time in the game, Piltown led 13 points to 9. Galmoy had staged a decent comeback with Kevin Duggan getting a point right on the half-time whistle, 13 points to 9. Piltown sprung Declan Duggan for the second half, and straight off the throw-in he had a ball over the bar after a good run up the right-hand side. Again, Ryan hit 2 more frees. Kevin Duggan and Billy Drennan replied, and by the second water break, Piltown led 17 points to 13. There was still only 4 points in it, but in that final quarter, Piltown pushed on the gas, brought on 2 or 3 fresh legs, which Galmoy basically didn't have to bring on today. Their numbers are very, very depleted at the minute. And Piltown hit about 5 points without reply in the last quarter of the game to run out good winners, 25 points to 15. Galmoy hopefully will have some of their injured players back for the next day, but numbers are scarce. Piltown had plenty of strong players today, and they were the better team by a long shot. Piltown had good performances from Kevin Walsh at centre-back, their team captain. Aaron Kinsella was very lively, and Billy O'Callaghan for Galmoy. Conor Grace, Oisín Phelan, Kevin Duggan and Billy Drennan did best, and they'll have better days, but today Piltown were the better team, 25 points to 15.
Yeah, that was Gerry Drennan talking earlier to Seamus Brophy. A good win there for Piltown. Well, the game I was at down in Nolan Park today, and Ciara Neary was covering for us, was the Junior B County Final, which ended up in a comprehensive win for Dixborough in the end. But Ciara Neary will tell us how that game went.
Dixborough 3-18, Conaghy Shamrocks 2-10. Dixborough started the Braces with 3 opening points from Eddie O'Donoghue, 2 from a freeze, 1 from 65, to leave the score as 3 points, no score after 5 minutes. Then Conaghy Shamrocks buried a goal through Bill Murphy as Gary Dunn passed the ball out to him. He made no mistake to level things up in the 8th minute. Mark Gunner and Eddie Donoghue exchanged frees then before Thomas Rice got his first point to leave it 1-2 to 4 points, heading towards the first water break. Eddie O'Donoghue then added a free, and Thomas Rice added his second point to leave it 1-3 to 5 points at the first water break. Thomas Rice then continued his fine form, scoring in the 22nd minute to leave it 1-4 to 5 points, but then Eddie O'Donoghue and Mark Gunner again exchanged points to leave it 1-5 to 6 in favour of the Conaghy men after 24 minutes. Eddie O'Donoghue then pointed another free to leave it 1-5 to 7 points before Eddie O'Donoghue pointed from play, and this was Dixborough's first point from play in the first half, and which was followed up again by an Owen O'Neill point and a Bill Murphy point from Conaghy to leave it 1-6 to 8 points in favour of Conaghy at half time. Dixborough started the Braces in the second half with 3 unanswered scores. Two from Eddie Donoghue, 1 from play and 1 from a free, and a Nick Botany's opening point to leave it 11 points to 1-6 after 34 minutes. Then Shane O'Brien point to leave it 12 points to 1-6 in the 35th minute before an excellent ball chance fell to Thomas Rice, and his low shot just went out to the outside of the post, and in the same run of play the ball went down the pitch, Colm O'Hara shot and a great save from Andy O'Keefe in the Conaghy goal. The ball broke out to Rory O'Connor and he finished it to leave it 1-12-1-6. Then Colm O'Hara pointed for Dixborough in the 44th minute to leave it 1-13-1-6 before Sean Brennan replied with Conaghy to leave it 1-13-1-7. Shane O'Brien pointed again for Dixborough, but this was quickly cancelled out by Mark Gunner to leave it 1-14-1-8 at the second drinks break. Just after the second drinks break, it was all Dixborough with two goals. One, the first one coming from Nick Dotney, where a massive delivery for Brian Minogue dropped on the edge of the square, and he made no mistake kicking the ball to the back of the net. And then Niall Rowe found himself in space, and he took the ball around Andy O'Keefe to finish to the back of the net to leave it 3-14-1-8. Eddie O'Donoghue then pointed to leave it 3-15-8, but then Nick Dotney hit three unanswered points to leave it 3-18-1-8. Credit to the Conaghy men, they didn't give up, and Carroll Downey and Thomas Rice pointed again to leave it 3-18-1-10. The final score of the game came, I'll give it to Mark Gunner, I think his free, it was a last minute free, Raymond Oak saved it, but I think the power of the shot just trickled over the line to leave the final score 3-18-2-10. Excellent performances from Dixborough, from the experienced Eddie O'Donoghue, Shane O'Brien at centre forward, and the switch of moving out Niall Rowe, 2020 County Minor, to midfield, and Colm O'Hara at half forward proved the match winning formula.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kieran, and no doubt about a deserved win. It was a bit of a collapse by Conaghy, but look, these things happen, and well done to Dixborough, a deserved winner, and thank you for your report. We'll talk to you here again tomorrow evening about that.
Thanks, Nicky.
Okay, we'll take a break and we'll be back with John Corrigan.
We are Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM.
Yes, you're very welcome back to Talk Sport, and as usual around this time every Sunday evening we talk to John Corrigan for the Kilkenny and District League results. John.
Mickey, how are you going,
Ben? John.
There was only a couple of games, only three games played today. There was unfortunately three walkovers during the week. The games played, the Lions defeated Callan United 1-0. Bridge United lost out 4-0 at home to Freebooters, and Port Rangers and New Park and Port Rangers played out a 2-2 draw, with New Park advancing 6-5 on penalties. The other game, the Ormond Villa Evergreen game, went by the wayside. There's not exactly sure what's wrong, but there's some COVID scare there that we have to look into, so that game will be played at a later date. So that's all I was saying.
Okay, John, thanks for that very much.
Right. Okay,
thanks, John. That's John Corrigan. There's a game going on out in Clare at the moment. It's the Junior E County Final. We'll get in touch with somebody there. But just while Pat is checking that on the phone, just some results. The Carlow Kilkenny Women's Under 19, they defeated Greystones today 3-1. In the Under 15 Boys, not so good. UCD 7, Carlow Kilkenny 1. And in the Under 17 Girls, it was nil all between Kilkenny and Wexford Utes. Well, across channel today at the Burnley versus Leeds United game, Burnley went into the lead with Leeds all by Chris Wood scoring in the 61st minute from a pass from Matthew Lawton, but Patrick Bamford, just called up to the England squad, scored in the 86th minute there, so a draw, a fair share of the spoils. And Spurs are going good. Hunming Son, he scored after 42 minutes against Watford to put them one up, and that's how it stayed. I noticed Harry Kane got booked in that particular match. While in the big game just this evening there, Manchester United got the better of Wolverhampton Wanderers, with Mason Greenwood scoring in the 80th minute from a pass from Raphael Varane, the new signing, who cost them a small fortune. Well, there was one other result across channel we'll talk about in a moment, but we will go down to Clara, where Carmel Kenny is, she's a lot of Clara in it, but there's a lot of Liz Downey in her as well, and Liz Downey are playing the Roar Innistieg in the Junior County Final. Carmel, how's things going out there at the moment?
It's all square here at the moment, Nicky. 6 points apiece. Darren Mackey from Liz Downey opened score with a point. Then Fico Farrell from the Roar Innistieg levelled it with a point of free. Then Liz Downey got 2 points. Owen Kenny's point of free, and then Luke Hampton got a point from a long distance. Then Kieran Kerr-Murta brought it to 3-2 with a point. And Mighty Grace, then the old Kilkenny hurler, levelled it. And then Jamie Holden from the Roar gave the Roar the lead with a long range free as well. Then Owen Owen Kenny then pointed two frees, leave it 5-4. Then Fiacre Farrell pointed a free, And then the exchange points, a freeze again. Richie McAvoy got a long range free, and Sierra Farrell got a free. So 6-all here, just off the water break.
Okay, look, Carmel, thanks for that. We'll pick up on that tomorrow evening, actually. We'll have full details on that. Carmel, thanks for that, and we appreciate you obliging us this evening, bringing us up to date with the score. Thanks, Carmel.
Not at all.
Okay, thank you, Carmel. Bye. That's Carmel Kenny. And just another match before I go to Pat, we might talk a bit of football for a while. Stephen Gerrard was obviously confined due to COVID. He wasn't at the Rangers Celtic match today, but he's side won 1-0. Philip Hallander, and I think he might be a new signing for them, but they defeated Celtic 1-0 at Ibrox in the first all-firm derby of the year. Hallander actually is a Swedish defender, so a tight contest there, that, and that's how it goes. So maybe it's going to be another year of Rangers dominating. Who knows? And Irish sprinter Jason Smith, he won a gold medal for Ireland in the Paralympics today. I think he's been, he's 34 years of age. He was pushed all the way by an Algerian sprinter, but he has been performer. He remains unbeaten in the T13 100 metres in the Paralympics. He's winning his first gold medal in Beijing in 2008. By any standards, Pat Tracy, that is a fair old record.
Great going altogether, isn't it?
It sure is. Look, I mean, the Paralympics are an opportunity for people who maybe to no fault of their own, maybe are not able to compete in the whole active sports that we see taking place every day, but they have created such a wonderful atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the achievements of some of the Paralympians, indeed, to compete in any sort of athletics, and I'm using the very broadest sense of sport, for people who maybe through circumstances have some issues, is brilliant.
Yeah, and watching it, you see the basketball, the way in the wheelchair basketball stuff, and it's just brilliant altogether. And the Irish swimmer winning as well. Just when I see people performing, you know, and at such a level, and when they go out there and they do personal best, you can't ask for any more than that, whether they win, lose, or draw, as they say. But Ireland have a great record in this.
But this is the ultimate participation, in that participating in the Olympics, Paralympics, is the ultimate achievement.
Of course, yeah.
Winning is the bonus, but
yeah,
participation,
right,
is what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely. Mm.
Peter, I'm just sorry, go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, no, it's just great that it comes then, you know, within a month kind of the Olympics, and going ahead in the Olympic Stadium and all that in the same city. I think it gives it a real profile.
It does, of course. It adds significantly to the status of it, and I suppose that's what creates all the buzz. It's unfortunate that in the current circumstances family members can't travel because of the circumstances that are there, but nevertheless it is fantastic that they are able to compete in the same stadium as the world's greatest athletes.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. It gives it that status, which I think it deserves, of course.
Big golf event on today, the BMW Championship. Well, the fourth round will be taking place later this evening. It's out in the Caves Valley Golf Club in the US. Prize money of $9.5 million. Wow, big money. So Bryson DeChambeau is sharing the lead with Patrick Cantlay. DeChambeau was doing very well, but I think he's slipped up a little bit. They're now both on minus 21. And Pat, big blow for Limerick and Peter Casey. He has the dreaded cruciate injury.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah, that's right. And it looked that way when it happened, all right. You know, it looked a real serious injury, and tough on him now, and tough on the Pearshig as they head into the championship.
No question about that. Okay, let's talk a bit of football for the last while, because I wasn't at the game yesterday because of the Camogie, but I was listening to it and I was watching some of it on my iPad while others were inside watching it in the stadium. I was waiting for them to come out. Tyrone 314, Kerry 22 points. That number three there for goals is probably what we can look at as most significant.
Yeah, and I think one of the most significant things that happened in the game was Kerry had threw for a goal, and they made a mess of it. It ended up being a free out, and maybe 5 minutes later, Tyrone got the goal and cut through the Kerry defence. Kerry, made a few good runs in and had sort of half chances and that of goals, but they were smothered away. But then they had the real chance, and it's just maybe a wrong option, but it was given as a square ball. Now, I taught in football that rule changed, that you could be in the square before the ball arrived, but it was not in this situation. Anyway.
Well, I suppose, and I can speak with some authority on this, as somebody who had COVID and who was bloody shook after having COVID. These Tyrone lads made a fair recovery to play in an intense match of that magnitude yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. And but were any of them sick with it? There's a big difference.
Well, we were told there was two of them in hospital.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. All I can say is, given my experience, and I can only talk about my experience,
right.
By God, I can tell you one thing, I was in no fit condition to do anything for a number of weeks.
And Pat Spillane was what do they say now, animated before the game.
It was, I heard about it more so than listened to it, but he certainly went on a rant and a half with Sean Kavanagh.
He surely did, yeah.
I'm sure RTE, they were lapping it up with what was going on.
I'd say so, yeah.
We'll probably hear a little round three of it tonight, but... Yeah. What does it mean to the All-Ireland final? Because a month ago, you'd have got all your money on Dublin and Kerry finals. And I think the possibility of Mayo and Tyrone was very high odds.
I give Mayo a decent chance now. I wouldn't give him any chance against Kerry.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I give him a reasonable chance now, even though I think Tyrone... I was always of the opinion that Tyrone were decent. And I think Mickey Hart was very unlucky last year. He lost key players through injury and all the rest. And those lads are kind of back this year. And, I always had him up there as a top four team, and they've stepped forward this time. Like, look, Kerry lost by a point in extra time. Okay, the Tyrone scored 1-2 and went 5 points up, but Kerry reacted wicked fierce well, and their key man was off the field. So
that must have been some encouragement to Tyrone, the fact that he wasn't coming out for the extra time.
Yeah, and that he was just totally seized up. But you'd wonder, the Kerry lads being seized up, like, compared to Tyrone, didn't seem to have the same amount of cramps and
I know that Kerry have invested very, very heavily in the whole S&C side of things, particularly in relation to their senior players.
Yeah,
I think there might be some questions asked about that whole preparation. I know they'll say there was 5 weeks, but at the end of the day, I guarantee if you had Kilkenny training in that length of time, there'd be matches among the panel in Nolan Park, and they'd be taking bits of one.
It was a narrow defeat for Kerry, but was a significant one in a lot of ways, and maybe they need one or two, beef it up a little bit. There aren't too many big players on that Kerry team.
Two of the biggest players are David Morden and Tommy Walsh,
exactly.
And they may be coming towards the end.
Latter
stages
neither of them are 70-minute players.
No,
now.
They're not.
Yeah,
but does it mean they'll have to find a new manager?
Well, I'd say no. As Paddy O'Shea used to call it, said about him, I think they might.
I just think they might. Well, just that game that's taking place out in Clara, it is still 11. Ficre Farrell pointed for the Roar to put them 7-6 up, and Eddie Kenny has just pointed there in the last couple of minutes for Liz Downey to make it 7 points all, coming into they're now 25 minutes gone in the first half. We'll do a little bit of a recce on that, but that's the end of this evening's programme. Thanks to all our contributors. We're getting into the busy stage. As I said, we'll be live from the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. Thanks to Pat and all who contributed to the programme. Ciarán Airí will do it all again tomorrow evening, when we chat about the various games that went on and various other issues. Congratulations to our senior camogie team, but well done to the intermediates and the minors. They are into All-Ireland finals. Until we talk again, Slán agus Bannocks.
We are Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM.